Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, wherever you are this morning. Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter, or Easter 3. The church doesn't make life easy always, and we will come back to that thought later. But I thought we would start today in this glorious Easter season with a canticle taken from Philippians. The words are there on your hymn sheet, and it is a song of Christ's glory. Christ Jesus was in the form of God, but he did not cling to equality with God. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and was born in our human likeness. Being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So quite obviously there is a hymn we should sing at this moment. Hear our reading from the Acts of Apostles. I'll just give you a little context for it. Peter and John are in Jerusalem and they are walking together towards the temple at the hour of prayer. They're going to pray within their faith community. And on their way, they are met by a lame man who has been there for many, many long years, and he asks for money from them. And you will remember from the children's song, "Silver and gold have I none," says Peter, "but all that I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And he does. He follows them into the temple, and he is walking and leaping and praising God in his joy. And people gather around him. He's well known, and there's quite a hullabaloo. And Peter begins to preach to them and says, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare?" And he takes them back to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, who you lot have handed over to Pilate, and so on and so forth. Well, the authorities close in around him. There shouldn't be a hullabaloo in the temple, and they are arrested. Joanne will pick up the story from the following morning. She reads from the Message translation.
This reading is taken from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. The next day, a meeting was called in Jerusalem. The rulers, religious leaders, religion scholars, Annas, the chief priest, Caiaphas, John Alexander, everybody who was anybody was there. They stood Peter and John in the middle of the room and grilled them. "Who put you in charge here? What business do you have doing this?" With that, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, let loose. "Rulers and leaders of the people, if we have been brought to trial today for helping a sick man, put under investigation regarding this healing, I'll be completely frank with you. We have nothing to hide. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one you killed on a cross, the one God raised from the dead, by means of his name, this man stands before you healthy and whole. Jesus is the stone you masons threw out, which is now the cornerstone. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one."
Apparently, a bishop once complained that wherever Paul, and in this instance Peter, went, they caused absolute uproar. And sadly, wherever he, the bishop, went, they just served tea, poor bishop. It's important to remember, though, that Peter is speaking within his own worshipping community. These are people he probably knows, and he has shared their faith. Now, we might not, as individuals, cause much uproar as we go about witnessing to Christ in our daily lives, but after a fortnight of PCCs, I can say that our meetings together, as we struggle to find a way forward through difficult times and difficult decisions, are certainly not just about tea. In fact, chance would be a fine thing. Challenge and conflict, disagreement, can and possibly need to sometimes be a part of our life together, it would seem. This passage has actually often been an opportunity for the church to fight, to throw challenges back and forth within itself and across its different churchmanships and theologies. Postmodern Christians wanting to find a role for other faiths are called to account for Peter's words, "Salvation comes no other way than by the name of Jesus." Relativists, those who think that truth is always relational to time, culture, and individual, are challenged to account for the words, "No other name has been or will be given, only this one." And of course, they shout back, "Yes, salvation only comes from Christ. Therefore, wherever we see signs of salvation, we know Christ is present, whether it be in our church, on an NHS ward, or in the life of a devout Muslim." Shouting. Of course, when the shouting ceases, there comes a time for reflection, and that is the pivotal moment in conflict. Will we be open to change? Will the liberal be challenged to more fully recenter him or herself around the person of Christ, reaffirming Christ as the cornerstone. Will the conservative welcome the challenge to allow God to be bigger than they could ever understand and rejoice in healing and salvation wherever it is found? Sometimes, and sometimes not. It's all about what we do with those uncomfortable feelings that conflict stirs up in us. And there isn't always shouting, certainly not in our Anglican politeness, but we know when there is conflict, there occurs within us a disgruntled, unsettled feeling. And we have a choice to either project that unsettled feeling outwards or allow it to help us to grow. Of course, that will depend on whether we keep at the forefront of our mind the commandment to love one another as Christ loves us. That is to lay down our lives, or possibly egos, to serve. I think conflict, when it arises, can enrich us and help us grow in our life together and grow in our service to those in our communities. Jesus doesn't leave an heir to continue to lead his church. He leaves a flawed, passionate, pondering, differently gifted bundle of people who together are called to work it out humbly with open minds, always keeping before us the one who calls us. Before we hear from the gospel, let us sing together. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you.
Down through eternity, and by grace. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand, and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep, and flees, and the wolf snatches them, and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
I am paid in my role in the church and therefore undoubtedly am a hired hand. I hope very much that should wolves come amongst us, I wouldn't flee, but who knows? Sometimes I can feel like fleeing just before a tricky meeting, though actually what worries me most is not my little bleating sheep within me, but the wolf within me, what it might be sneakily up to, despite overt intentions. And yet also a deep calm settles on me, and I hope upon you too, when we hear Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. He loves us each fully and utterly, and he loves his flock. Whoever leads amongst us, and I suggest that each of us leads in a different fashion in the life of the church, some by example, some by role, some by expertise, some by challenge or wisdom or experience, some indeed through their listening silence. Whoever and whenever, we all look to one shepherd, the good shepherd, who stays with us when danger threatens, and that is the danger within us and between us, as well as that which comes from outside. He stays with us right through the worst of it and out the other side, saving, healing, resurrecting. Our shepherd, who will bring all his sheep into one flock. And where does he lead us? Well, to the source of all goodness, that in which we live and move and have our being. He leads us, shambolic, difficult, obstinate, as we his sheep often are. He leads us together to our Heavenly Father, to the kingdom of God. Let's sing again before we are led in prayer.
Jesus, lead us to the Father by your Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, I humbly bring these intercessionary prayers this morning on behalf of this congregation. Thank you for giving us the strength and willingness to be in fellowship one with another, to feel your love sustaining us this day, as in so many situations throughout our lives. Days of immense joy and days of intense sadness and frustration, when we have felt so exhausted that only our faith in you has carried us through. O Lord, you have been and are that listening ear, that giver of hope, that gives the clarity and strength to try to live our lives in your likeness, to love one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all positions of leadership throughout our church, for all in their care. We know that some changes may be inevitable, but we pray for wisdom that any change must have the sensitivity to enable the individual church and its congregation to feel happy with the outcome. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to be very thankful for the COVID vaccination program in this country. So many of our fellowship have had at least their first vaccination and many their second. We are so grateful to the many scientists working in their laboratories in succeeding to produce vaccines that are enabling us to be protected more safely from the COVID virus. We are slowly entering a stage of living a little less locked down, but we still must adhere to the rules that science demands of us. We pray for so many countries in the world who do not have the standards of health care we have, especially the population of India, who are facing a COVID crisis at this present time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our royal family, especially our sovereign Queen Elizabeth, in the early stages of widowhood. She, like us, through her strong faith in you, dear Lord, will be comforted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those innocent people throughout the world, caught up in the carnage of senseless wars, wars caused for the sole purpose of changing government to enable evil despots to rule for power and financial gain. We pray for all who risk their own lives to help the suffering by bringing aid and shelter to all who are made refugees by these conflicts. We are thankful that we live in a country whose population help in so many ways, both practically and financially, when global and national disasters occur. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for governments throughout the world to take climate change more seriously and know that excessive carbon emissions are changing weather patterns, causing greater warming of glaciers and ultimately more water flowing into our oceans. Deforestation of rainforests that will have a devastating impact if not abated. We must act for the well-being of future generations. We have abused your beautiful world, Lord, but there is a growing demand to halt this senseless plundering of natural resources. We still have time to make the difference with your eternal guidance, dear Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. May we say together the prayer Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We didn't have a confession at the beginning of this service, because actually I think sometimes what is needed is not so much a confession as just a willingness to sit and be open to the presence of God, to the presence of our Lord Jesus, and allow him to work with what we have inside us. And so before the blessing, I would ask you to perhaps sit up straight, open your palms upon your knees, and be quiet for a moment with our Lord. Risen Christ, faithful shepherd of your Father's sheep, teach us to hear your voice and to follow your command, that all your people may be gathered into one flock, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you, upon all those whom you love, and all those whom you try to love, now and always. Amen. There is a hymn that we should sing together now, but I would ask you to move it from the I to the we. When we come to a me, let's say ours. When we come to an I, let's say we. Let us sing this, separate as we are, together. God bless the week ahead of you.
The Lord's my